You know, it's funny how you think you know what you're supposed to talk about, and then you start on that path, and then the Holy Spirit interrupts it, and you get a whole new, seems like it happens to me almost every time. But I had some things written down, and then some things kind of shifted gears today, and I thought, okay, I need to shift gears. I need to teach on this other thing. So I want to talk about having a disciplined mind, or what an undisciplined mind might look like. How many know that we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, body? We have a spirit. We are a spirit. We live in a body, and we have a mind, will, and emotions, right? And you know that we're not led by our mind. We're led by our spirits. Amen? But we have a mind. This thing up here likes to tell us what to do, right? How many are glad you have a good mind, you have a sound mind? The word says that we don't have a spirit of fear, but we have a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. That sound mind means sozo, means safe thinking. We have disciplined thinking. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to wander around trying to figure out how to think, but that the Holy Spirit shows us what we need to be thinking on through His word. Amen? We've got a guide. We've got a guide on the inside, but we've got a guide through the word of God. I'm grateful for that. So I think it was last week I was actually on my way here, and these thoughts were rolling in my spirit. And so Braden is my secretary. He's learning how to take notes. So I said, Braden, take this down. Write this down, because I'm driving. I can't do it. So he wrote it down for me. And it popped back up in my spirit today, and I thought, this is what the Lord wants to deliver today. But I had him write this down. You need to be careful with your thought life. The word helps us to think right. When we think right, we believe right. When we believe right, we speak right. When you speak right, you do right. And when you do right, then you receive right. You got it? You want me to say it again? You need to be careful with your thought life. The word helps us to think right. So first of all, we got to get in the word of God to know how to think, right? This world is trying to tell us how to think, how to be conformed. And the word says in Romans 12:2, to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we renewing our minds? Through the word of God. So the word helps us to think right. And if we're not getting in the word, then you're not thinking right. That's an undisciplined mind. So it's vital. I want to say it again. It's vital that we get in the word of God each and every day. When you get in the word, it helps you think right. Then you believe right. Because lots of folks out there believe in a lot of things, but it doesn't line up with the word of God. There's facts, and then there's the truth. And your life needs to line up with the truth of the word of God. So we believe right. And then when you believe right, then your speaker is going to start saying some things in line with the word of God. How many know if you're not renewing your mind, you're believing everything that's coming at you? We saw that in the last kind of past 4 years. Lots of people believe in lots of crazy stuff, right? Believe in whatever is being posted on social media. You know, and it's important that we're measuring everything up by the word of God. Don't believe everything that you're hearing and seeing. Because just because so-and-so said it doesn't mean it's right. You got to go to the word, and it needs to line up with what the word of God says. Amen? And I'll tell you that about what we're speaking. You need to go into the word and find out if it lines up with the word. We want to make sure that everybody's in the word of God. Amen? So when you believe right, then you speak right. And when you speak right, you do right. That means your life is lined up and you start to act on the word. And then you receive right. That means you can receive what the word says you can have. I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I can have what God says I can have according to his word. So the devil has no power over us unless we give it to him. The word of God talks about how he is a defeated foe. And the only way that he can have any kind of control in our life is if we allow him to have it. So an undisciplined mind will wreak havoc. It's an unrenewed mind when thoughts are without restraints. So if your thoughts are not restrained, if there's no restraint, if the word of God is not like a horse, you've got the reins on a horse and it's giving you direction depending on which way you're pulling those reins, there should be some reining in with your mind. Amen? And that reining in is with the word of God. What you believe should line up with the word. Praise God. Too many are serving their minds instead of their minds serving what's in their spirit. We don't serve our mind. We serve what the Spirit of God says in and through our spirits. Amen? So how does your mind serve the faith? How does our mind serve the faith in our spirit? It has to agree with it. It has to lay hold on it. And instead of arguing with it or reasoning with it, we lay hold of what the Word of God says, and it comes up from out of our spirit, and then it pops into our head. So then our thinking is right, right? But it starts here in the spirit of man. How, and you all know that God is a spirit, right? And we are a spirit, right? We are spirit. He's a spirit. Those who love him will worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we serve him with our whole being, our mind, will, and emotions, our body. Everything is subjected to him and surrendered to him. But the first comes in our mind. And then when our mind starts to follow after what the Word of God says, then our drops in our spirit and helps the whole man. So the renewed mind takes the Word of God and agrees with it. That's what happens when we get in the Word of God. We start to develop a pathway where we understand what the Word of God says. So when we have thoughts, how many have thoughts come to you probably each and every day that don't line up with the Word? And I was asking Braden this on the way here. Do you know what it means when thoughts come to you? And do you know how to distinguish between what thoughts are from God and what thoughts are from the enemy? He said, no. And I said, well, that's why we read the Word of God, because it helps us to understand what his Word says about our life, what his promises are for us, what he has declared in his Word for us. And that's why it's important that we know what the Word says, so we can line things up with what the Word of God is saying. You know, we start having thoughts about, how many have thoughts about, you know, you're just an idiot. You don't have to raise your hand. You're just a failure. You're never going to make anything out of your life. You're just, you know, I don't know, fear, intimidation, all kinds of thoughts that come our way. Those thoughts are not what God says about us, right? That's not what the Word says. God's Word says that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The greater one's on the inside of me. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and going out. The favor of God is all over me. Everything I set my hand to is prosperous and blessed. I can have what I say, the Word says. Amen? As long as it lines up with the Word. So that's why it's important that we put into our spirit man what the Word of God says about who we are. So when these thoughts come our way, where we start to get intimidated and we start lining our mouth up, our mind starts meditating, and then we start lining our mouth up, and then it starts producing something. You start talking about it and start saying things. And before you know it, your whole life is following this path. And we'll get into this a little bit. Are you good? Are you good? All right. So the renewed mind takes the Word of God and agrees with it. So how many know you got to know what the Word says so you know what to agree with, right? God is a spirit, and he speaks to our spirit. The unsaved can hear in their minds because they don't have a saved spirit, right? They can hear in their minds, but they don't actually hear God with their spirit man. We hear him with our spirit man, and then it is acknowledged in our mind, right? Okay, so your spirit knows things that your mind doesn't know yet. How many know the things of God are on the inside of you? There's deep things on the inside of you. That's why it's important we get in the Word. But also when we pray in the Spirit, it enlightens our mind. It's like, have you ever had an aha moment when you've been praying? You've been in the Word. All of a sudden the revelation comes and inspiration comes. And you know what? That was there all along. It was in your spirit, man. And God is just revealing himself to you. We talk about we're going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, to faith to faith. That's because there's things on the inside of us. The hope of glory is living on the inside. Everything I need pertaining to life and godliness is already on the inside of me. I don't need to get more. I just need more revelation of who I am in him. Amen? And so when we get into the Word of God, we realize, wait a minute, I'm carrying the hope of glory on the inside of me. And all of a sudden, the eyes of our understanding, the Word talks about it in Ephesians. We prayed that prayer. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We know the hope to which we've been called to. More light is shed on things. And areas that we need to make correction, more light is shed on those things. The dark areas that try to push us out, that try to say you're not good enough and you're not able, those areas are lit up, and God's revealing his will and his ways for us. Amen? You know, nothing from God is going to come against his will for our life. All the thoughts that we get, if it is a thought that is pushing you out of the will of God, that's the will of God for your life. That's not a thought from God. That's a thought from the enemy. Destruction, despair, discouragement, those, the big three D's, those are all from the enemy. We don't have to figure out, well, maybe God's trying to direct me because he wants me to feel sad, or he doesn't lead with sadness. He leads with joy and peace. The word says you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And so when you start to feeling heavy and you start to feeling like there's something wrong, that's not the Lord leading you. Amen? Amen. So God's thoughts will always be in agreement with the word. So if there's a thought that comes in, I read Casey Treat's book on the mind several years back, and he talked about how it was like having bouncers on either side of your mind. When a thought comes, that bouncer catches it and says, is this thought from God? Is this what the word of God says about who you are? And the bouncer decides, no, this is not what God says about me. And you throw it out. You throw it out. There's scripture that talks about it. We're going to get there about that scripture here in a minute. But it's important, and that's why we have to be in the Word of God. Can you get my other glasses? These are broken. They're in that gray case there. When people aren't renewing their minds, they accept wrong thoughts, and they'll be troubled. And I've noticed this. Have you ever noticed someone who is a Christian, perhaps, and not really living in the fullness of what's available to them by way of not getting in the Word of God, not renewing their mind, not staying in fellowship with others? Maybe there's not a strong leaning towards the things of the Spirit, but maybe more of a leaning towards the things of the world. Yet they're a Christian, maybe even a little bit riding the fence a little bit. And they are dealing with a lot of oppression. They're dealing with a lot of thoughts that are not from God. And I've noticed that when you try to give them direction and you try to encourage them, you know what? You need to get in the Word. You need to find out who you are. This isn't who you are. Those same thoughts that are driving them, because it's a spiritual battle. The word says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness. Now, these things have been overcome by Jesus, but we have to renew our mind to what is available to us so that we can walk on a higher place, in a higher way, and we can manipulate we can operate in our life the way God planned for us to operate. So we're not under everything. We're living above all the circumstances. We're not just subjected to every word that comes our way and every thought that comes our way. Every one of us deal with negative thoughts. Every person, if I said, have you dealt with a negative thought today? We probably all could raise our hands. But it's not the thoughts that are coming. It's what you're doing with them that's important. Are you dealing with what's coming your way? Because if you're not getting in the Word, and if you're not dealing with the thoughts that are coming your way, then you have an undisciplined mind. And it takes discipline to be physically fit? That's a given. It takes discipline to not take in foods that we want to. If I ate cake every day, I would be a very undisciplined person, and it would produce something in my life that would be evident and would not be good for me, right? Not just, you know, physically, but emotionally, mentally, right? It affects you in every way, and I think it affects you spiritually, and I'll just tap into this a little bit, because we're the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if we're the temple, then this is not my temple to eat the way I want to. It has to be surrendered to do what he's called me to do. Not just my spirit man, but my physical man has to be surrendered to what he's called me, how he's called me to live, right? And it's balance. It's balance in all things. I'm not saying you can't have cake and cookie once in a while, but I'm saying if that's all you're eating, then you're not honoring the temple, right? We have to honor the temple of the Holy Spirit. So where was I going? So that same spirit, when people are dabbling in those thought processes and they're not, there's a flow from heaven for us to flow out of and in. Like Pastor Z's been talking about the spirit realm. There's a flow in the spirit for our minds to be set. The word says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, right? There's a setting that needs to take place. When you set your mind where it needs to be and it's disciplined and you recognize, first of all, you got to recognize when those thoughts come. A lot of us are just kind of in go mode. We're just going to do whatever thought. Have you ever just realized, wait a minute, I was just thinking on that, and I didn't mean to think on that. Why was I thinking about that? You're kind of in that flow. You're just always going. Your mind's always operating, and it's always thinking about something. And after a while, you're like, I didn't mean to think about that. And so we've got to, first of all, recognize where our mind is and what our mind is focused on. And first thing in the morning, what are we thinking on? And Christmas is a great time and example for this. I have this friend who, Dorette Shaw, she writes an Advent book every year, and it's a devotion that you get into every day, and it honors the month of Christmas, and it talks about Jesus and Christmas. And the one I read today, it had a beautiful poem, and it was talked about the six senses of Christmas, and it talks about what you're seeing at Christmas time, all the different presents and the trees. Things change physically during Christmas, right? We see lights. We see people going to concerts. We see presents. We see food, more different foods than we normally have. We hear things different. We hear carols. We hear people talking about the birth of Christ. We hear people saying Merry Christmas. We hear some things, right? We taste some things differently. There's a taste. Every sense has a different a difference in this season right now. We hear things. We taste things. We touch things differently. Eggnog, yes, ginger snaps, all the things where, you know, there's, and it kind of made me happy because I started reading this and I started having all the feels. You know what I mean? It's like you have all the feels of Christmas and it's like, oh, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying be led by your senses, but the last part talked about Jesus being born and how that's the real sense that we need to be driven by. And I thought, you know, are we right now, we are so focused on getting it done. I know I am. Get it done. We've got songs to learn. We've got Christmas banquets to do. We've got food to order. We've got family coming in. We've got trees to put up. We've got this. We've got that. We've got people we need to bless. We've got cards we need to send out. I don't even have my Christmas card ready yet. All the things. And I'm thinking, we get so caught up in these things. Our thought processing is, so what we're meditating on right now is so focused on this. Are we missing him in the midst of it? And I want to just say, set your mind on him right now. And be determined to set your mind on him, at least for the month of December, and maybe it'll be a habit where we continue. So when you get up in the morning, you start thinking about your Savior. You start thinking about how he came, why he came, how he delivered us, how he set us free, how wonderful he is, how he is Emmanuel, God with us and in us, how he provides our needs, how he is so beautiful. He's a beautiful Savior, and how he's coming again someday. The King is coming again someday. Amen. And so my purpose in saying that is there's people that they don't renew their mind. They don't focus on positive, not just positive, but things of the word. And they're driven by spirits. There are spirits out there. There's a warring going on that, you know, the scripture talks about your flesh and your spirit war against one another. And there's spirits out in the world that are pushing and driving and causing so much anxiety and frustration and, you know, and all the things. And then when you get around these people, all of a sudden you're being driven by what they're being driven by. Have you ever experienced that? I have. And it's like I arrest myself and think, wait a minute, it happened to me today. And I was like, wait a minute, this is not who I am. I am not going to be driven by this. This is not God's best. This is not a disciplined mind. And so again, I want to just focus on the importance of disciplining our mind. And that comes from getting in the Word of God, getting into worship, focusing on him. But the renewal, the transformation has to come from the Word of God. So if you listen to the wrong thing long enough, the wrong thing will start making sense to you. If you listen to the wrong thing long enough, deception, we have to be so perceptive of what the Holy Spirit has to say and what he wants to lead us and where he wants us, how he wants to obey. Ask yourself, am I really listening to you? Am I really being led by you? I want to know the truth. I want to be led by what you want me to be led by. I don't want to be deceived in my mind. Deception can come very quickly and easily. I read this. How many know who Sean Fout is? You guys know who that is, that singer that's going around and doing such an amazing work of God, doing Let Us Worship, I think it's called, his ministry. And he had said something, it just hit my spirit. He said this. He said, the spirit of accusation is strong right now across the body of Christ, seeking to bring division, chaos, and paralyze the new things that God has come for us in 2025. This is not from God. It is from the pit of hell. It is contrived and fueled by those bound in offense that seek out others to carry their own poison of unforgiveness. Insecurities, unforgiveness will always throw blame, which brings shame and rejection. It's all a root of bitterness. Do not partner with it and do not engage. I just dropped that to you because I really feel that people that are not renewing their minds and not staying in the Word have slipped into a place of accusing the brethren. And who is the accuser of the brethren? The enemy is the accuser. And I will not line up with his plan. I will not line up with his words. So please be careful to keep your mind renewed and do not be a participator of being accusatory to your brethren. Amen? We have to be aware. We have to be on guard because there are those who are out there and they just find things wrong with everybody, just criticizing and judging and, you know, and that's not our job. We're to judge the fruits, not the people, right? Okay, so the enemy will throw suggestions. That word, suggestions, write that down. He will throw suggestions at you. Learn to check or to turn towards your spirit when things are coming at you, not your mind. The devil wants to keep you there in the mental realm. So you've got to look at your spirit man. Listen to your spirit man. When people start talking to me immediately, I listen here. Immediate, and I'm not saying yay me. I'm just saying I've trained myself to just, what's the Holy Spirit saying right now? What does this person need? Where is this person at? How can I help this person? Immediately start listening, not just start analyzing. A lot of people pride themselves in being analytical. I want to just tell you, that's not something to be proud of. Because being analytical can keep you in the mental realm and keep you far away from the spirit where the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, right? And that'll drive you to emotions as well. So learn to check and turn toward your spirit. So Jesus recognized wrong thoughts. You guys remember the story when he started telling the disciples about what was going to happen to him. And Peter said, oh no, you're the master, the savior. This can't help you. What did he do? Immediately, he turned away. He said, get thee behind me. He recognized that those words he was speaking were not going to line up with the plan of God for his life. He already knew what the plan of God was. He didn't like it. His flesh didn't like it, but he knew what was required of him, and he was ready to obey it to the death. And the disciples were ready to push him away from it. He recognized it, and he turned away from it. You have to get so keen with your spirit, man, that you recognize when somebody is saying something to you, and if your mind is being transformed and you are disciplined in your mind, you will recognize things just like that. I'm not saying being judgmental. Please don't get me wrong. But you'll recognize because there's been a transformation in your mind. You'll say, wait, what does the Word say about that? You know, and you don't have to be ugly. You just don't have, you can turn away from it. You don't have to receive it, right? You need to be careful what people are speaking over you, right? If you give attention to wrong things, it'll trouble you. It'll confuse you and it'll get you off course and it'll slow down the process of God for your life. The spiritual mind has learned to bring, spiritual man has learned to bring his mind into agreement with the Word. We bring our mind into the agreement with the Word of God. Jesus turned his back to wrong thoughts. So how do wrong thoughts gain entrance? How do wrong thoughts gain entrance? We listen. We listen. We repeat. We say something about them. We start entertaining those thoughts. We start meditating on those thoughts. And then we resonate those thoughts. It's as simple as that. And then it takes root. It takes root in your spirit. And then you can't. It's hard to get away from. And guess what that is? That's a stronghold. And the only thing that can break stronghold is the word, the name, and the blood. Amen? And we can defeat strongholds. You have authority over them. You have authority over your life. The word has given us, Jesus said, I've given you the authority. When I was getting dressed, I thought of this scripture. It says, I didn't write this on my notes, but take no thought. Take no thought. What you'll eat, what you'll drink. And the Holy Ghost said, you take that thought. It presents itself to you, a worry, a plan that's not from me, a plan from the enemy of destruction and despair, health issues. It's presented. And you decide, I'm going to take that thought. The word says, take no thought for what you will eat, what you will drink. And I believe it means all the other things. It's just talking about the little menial things, because he says, if the birds are okay, you're okay. So you don't need to take that thought. You need to take my thoughts, right? We have the mind of Christ. Praise God. Are you guys good? So Jesus stripped the power of the enemy. The enemy, all he has is a talk. He's a talker. He's a big talker. It's all he has. Colossians 2:15 says, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us, and he made a bold display and public example of them and triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. He can't work it unless it gets into you. So you can't let his words, his lies get into you. I told somebody today, you're listening to the failure and you're becoming a failure because you're listening to what he's saying to you. He's the greatest failure there ever was. And when you listen to what he has to say about your life, you're following the lead, a covering, who's already been defeated. All he has is lies. And so when you follow after that, you're following after his plan, his words, and then we give him power, right? We give him power. You can, just like we come in that door this evening, you can open the door to your mind, or you can shut the door to your mind and not allow the enemy in. Amen? Don't let him in. When the thoughts come and they're negative and they're not from the word, shut the door. Keep out the devil. Renewing our mind helps us to recognize the thoughts that are not from God. The devil can't make you think wrong. You choose it. He can only make suggestions. These are suggestions. You have cancer. This is a suggestion. You are filled with fear. This is a suggestion. You're going to be alone the rest of your life. This is a suggestion. You are lonely. This is a suggestion. You're going to be desperate at Christmas. This is a suggestion. Your job is not going to provide enough for you. This is a suggestion. Your children are not going to live for God. Those are all things that he throws at us. But I am not going to line myself up with lies. And we need to recognize what those lies are. And the only way we can is through getting in the Word of God, renewing our mind. Amen? So how do we run them out? How do we run those thoughts out? With the Word of God. Amen. And he only needs one wrong thought. You give him one foothold into the door with one thought, and then he starts coming in with all kinds. So your faith and your attention are connected. Your faith and your attention are connected. There's a quote setting that will either set you up for failure or set you up for success. It depends on what you're setting your mind on. You can't have strong faith with your attention and your affections set on the wrong thing. You cannot have strong faith. You cannot have strong faith with your attention set on the wrong thing. If you're always thinking about how much you don't have, how much of a failure you are, how much you wish you had this and you wish you had that, you will not have strong faith, because your faith is working for you or it's working against you. And it's working. And so if your faith is in you're not good enough, you're not going to have enough, it's all destructive and failure, that's where your faith is going. That's where your faith is being applied. Are you all good? Okay, are you in agreement with me here? Okay, you can't have strong faith without setting it on the right thing. It affects your faith. Our job is to shut him down with the word. We don't outthink the thought. We don't try to figure it out with our minds. We don't analyze it out. It doesn't work that way. Amen? We overcome with the Word of God. We have to combat these thoughts with what the Word says. Amen. Romans 12:2. I quoted it a little bit earlier, but let's read it together. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude." It has a new, you know, the Word has a new attitude for us. Some of y'all maybe need a new attitude. It's going to come from the Word of God. Amen. "So that you can prove to yourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Some people think there's one of each. There's a good, there's an acceptable, and there's a perfect will of God. "Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you." The Message says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in with it, even your thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. I was thinking about this, how the world, the culture, what is the culture around us right now? What is the mindset of the world? There's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of downcast spirit. There's a lot of people that need help, and they need what we have. And so that comes with the renewal of the mind. Amen. And as we renew our mind, we're able to give them Jesus. 2 Corinthians 10:5, this is one of my favorites. You guys know this. We've quoted it before. "Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thought that sets itself against the knowledge of God, we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." So what this is saying basically is when the thought comes and it doesn't line up with the truth of the Word, we cast it out. It cannot stay. Amen. "Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ." I heard a story about one of the ministers that I look to as a pastor and a friend, and we're actually under him, but he used to teach healing school at Brother Higgins, and he had a vision right before he got ready. He got up to speak, and he saw these people. Most of the people there, well, all the people there were there for healing, and he had a vision of all these people with their arms, most of them were holding on like this. They kind of had their arms wrapped around them, their bodies. And he asked the Lord, "Lord, what is this?" He said, and the Lord said, "They're holding on to their sickness." And he said, "Well, they're here to get healed. I don't understand." no condemnation if your arms are crossed. He quoted this. He said, "What their mind is on is what they're holding on to. What they're holding on to is what they're having." And so what you're setting your mind on, and it basically was saying that their mind is set on their symptoms, their mind is set on their sickness, their mind is, and I wasn't thinking about you, but I'm just telling you, don't set your mind on your sickness or your symptoms. Don't talk about it all the time. Talk about the healing power of God. Amen. Don't hold on to what is not yours. Sickness doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. Amen. We're the healed of the Lord. You can't hold on to one thing and receive something else. What you're holding on to is what you get. And so if you want to be able to receive healing, and I love, you know, when we come up here to receive, we have hands laid on. Part of the whole thing is lifting your hands and surrender. It's surrendering. It's letting go of what we think we are, what we think we know. And we're saying, "God, I need you. Take over." Amen. You can't just get the focus off the wrong thing. You have to get it on the right thing. So sometimes we think, "Well, I just won't think about this. I won't think about this." And, you know, I love what Lillian B. Yeoman, I don't have it written down here, but she talked about how, and you guys know, she was addicted. She was a nurse and had become addicted to morphine, and was just praying and asking God to help her get off. And this was years and years ago when it was almost impossible to get off of drugs without it killing you. And she just got so captivated with the Word of God. It just enveloped her. And she said, "I got so caught up with His presence that I couldn't help but be healed. I couldn't help. I got so caught up in His Word, I couldn't help but be healed." So praising God is another way. It's one of the ways that we can get our mind on him and on his presence and on his word and off of our situation, our circumstances. Of course, we've been talking about praise your way through your battle. James 4:7 says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The word talks about it, that he has to flee. But I want to say this. A lot of people say, I've been resisting the devil, but you've been holding on to your problem while you're resisting the devil. You can't resist the devil and hold on and talk about your problem at the same time. You need to do it God's way. You need to transform, have a transformation of your mind and find out what God says about your situation, your body, your circumstances, your finances, your relationships. Start speaking the word of God and then praise him through it. Amen. So I came across this real quick. I'm going to read this to you real quick here at the end. Rick Renner, you guys know who that is, but he gave an interpretation of Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says, if you will get this, I tell you this, he said, it's life-changing and revolutionary. I want to help you understand how the devil tries to work in a realm of the mind and emotions. If you grab a hold of these truths, they can set you free from the devil's lies forever. How many want to be free? Forever. Ephesians 6:11, Paul explicitly tells us how the devil operates. He writes, put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want you to especially pay attention to the phrase, the wiles of the devil. The word wiles is taken from the word methodos. It is a compound of the words meta, and otos. The word meta is a proposition that means with. The word otos is a word for road. When the words meta and otos are compounded together, it literally means with a road. You probably have already figured out that the word methodos is where we get the word method. Some translations actually translate the word methodos as the word method, but the word method is not strong enough to convey the full meaning of the Greek word methodos. So basically, he's going on to talk about the wiles. And he talks about how it's like a traveler who travels on the road. He's headed in one direction and one destination. That's the devil. So he says, I'm going to give you an example of this. Taking any road, when you get we set our GPS and it takes us down a road, right? If I don't set my GPS, I'm going to go down many roads and most of them will not be right. I need my GPS to take me down the right road. But the devil does the same thing, right? This is precisely the idea of the word methodos. The devil isn't wasting any time. He knows where he wants to go. He's chosen his destination. Rather than mess around in a bunch of different routes, he's mastered the best way he can get to you. He is not a mindless traveler. And when he arrives at this place of destination, he has one main goal he wants to accomplish. He wants to wreak havoc and bring destruction. He is an enemy to our soul, right? Therefore, we must ask, where is the devil traveling and what does he want to do once he gets there? So Paul answers the question in 2 Corinthians 2:11 when he says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Are y'all good? Poke the person next to you. Say, this is good. Listen, pay careful attention to the word devices in this verse. The Greek word, and I'm not going to go into all the stuff. Well, it's interesting. The Greek word nomada, a form of the word noose. Noose is actually the word for the mind. Isn't that interesting? Noose, mind, intellect. Thus, in one sense, Paul is saying we are not ignorant of the way Satan schemes and thinks. But this word denotes Satan's insidious plot to fill the human mind with confusion. There's no doubt that the mind is the arena where Satan feels most comfortable. He knows if he can access a person's mind and emotions, he will most likely be able to ensnare them, that individual, into a trap. One writer says the word nomada not only depicts Satan's scheming mind, but also his crafty, subtle way of attacking and victimizing others' minds. I personally like this because it identifies the primary destination of the devil, to get into the person's mind and fill it with lying emotions. Lying emotions. So when the devil comes, and I know if we are not getting into the word of God every day, guess what? That night, you're open territory. And it's not about works. It's about there is an enemy, and it's about staying guarded. It's about renewing your mind. It's continuing that opening of your spiritual eyes to see how God sees and finding out what he says about us, right? So the words, where was I? False perceptions, filling it with lying emotions, false perceptions, and confusion. Have you ever talked to somebody and they are believing so many lies about themselves? You're like trying to convince them. And you're like, how in the world are you getting this thought? I know who you are. How in the world do you have this perception about who you are? Completely swallowed a lie. Hook, line, and sinker. So, and confusion comes. And it was for this reason that Paul urged, casting down imaginations, every high thing. The words bringing into captivity are from the Greek word, I'm not going to repeat it, which pictured a soldier who has captured an enemy and now leads him into captivity with the point of a sharpened spear thrust into the flesh in his back. The captured enemy knows that he's tried to move or get away. The Roman soldier will shove that spear right into his torso and kill him. This is the enemy. He's ready. Therefore, this captive doesn't dare move, but remains silent, submissive, and non-resistant. He doesn't resist what he's hearing. However, when Paul uses the word in this verse, he writes it in a tense that describes the continuous action of taking such an enemy captive. This is not a one-time affair. It's a lifelong occupation of the soldier. He constantly has a spear in his hand. He's always pushing it against the flesh of the enemy's backside. Because the devil loves to make a playground out of your mind and emotions, you must deal with him like a real enemy. Everybody say, I have a real enemy. But I have the answer. Rather than fall victim to the devil's attacks, you must make a mental decision to seize every thought he tries to use to penetrate your mind and emotions. Rather than let those thoughts take you captive, you have to reach up and grab them and force them into submission. You have authority over your mind. You must take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you're going to beat the devil at his game, you have to put all your energy into taking every thought captive. And again, I don't want this to sound like it's laborious or it's because there's a place in the presence of God where we find rest and we find peace and we find hope. But when we know what the word says and those thoughts come and they challenge who we are in Christ, they challenge the will of God for our lives. That's the bottom line here, is God has a plan for us. There is a will for your life. There is a purpose and a plan. And the enemy is doing everything he can to divert and get you off course from the plan of God. And so if he can affect this up here, then he knows he's got the whole man. And so we have to be aware of the enemy's devices, aware of the wiles of the enemy. Resist him and stay in the word of God. Stay in worship. Amen.